Nolan?
Yeah.
Okay, good morning. Our call to order the State Government Budget Division for Monday, April 27th, 2009. We do have a quorum present. Members, we have to finish by 11 o'clock because we have a floor session at 11. The first item on the agenda is actually a procedural matter. Senator Cohen had presented Senate File 1481 to the Budget Division. He then wanted the opportunity to describe the differences between this bill and Senate File Number 2, but we ran out of time, and frankly, we're not going to have time to do it. He's not here anyway. So I'd entertain a motion to move Senate File 1481 to the Finance Committee.
So moved.
Senator Rust moves that Senate File 1481 be recommended to pass and be referred to the Committee on Finance. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, the motion prevails. Senator Lurie, you have the Senate File 1284, the Lawful Gambling Regulation Provisions Modification. Senator Lurie, and again, we'll be focusing more on the budget aspects of the bill, but you'll have to give us just a general idea of what the bill actually does.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Yes, Senator Lurie with Senate File 1284, Lawful Gambling Control Board Provisions. This is a bill that was worked on over the interim. We all recognize that our charitable organizations have been struggling over the last few years, and so we asked Tom Barrett, the Executive Director of the Gambling Control Board, to go out and work with the industry to find some ways to help just administratively and with tax burdens. That the tax piece is not in this bill, but he issued a report regarding changes that could be made to help the industry and streamline some of the administrative burdens faced by the industry. There's two pieces in it that do have a little bit of a fiscal implication. I'll cover those right now, and I do have an A3 amendment that could be distributed. I think somebody on the committee would have to offer it. I think Ann Russell.
Well, yeah, Mr. Bodron isn't here, so we'll have to, you know, just.
I have a copy if somebody wants to make.
Well,
a
he's
copy.
Got the rest of them. Sorry.
But he has plenty of them. But I'll just describe the finance implications of the bill. There's really two. There's a fee for exempt permits, mainly raffles. Charitable organizations need to apply to the board for an exempt permit. If they're going to run a raffle, and current law says that they have to do so more than 30 days before the event, and there's not a great deal of compliance with that provision, so we're increasing it to $100 if they don't apply within before that 30-day period, and so there would be a little bit of extra revenue generated by that, but by the second year, that would really come into line and really only provide another $5,000. The other piece is an increase in civil penalties from $500 to $1,000. This is in line with what most other government entities have as their civil penalties, and that would generate also about $5,000 per year. So the total fiscal implications of this bill are about $10,000 per fiscal year, with the exception of fiscal year 10, as charities get used to this incentive fee to comply with current law and send in their exempt applications more than 30 days before the event. And that would give the Gambling Control Board a little bit more flexibility in the way they administer their program, so they weren't always rushing to get these things done.
Okay. As I say,
I could describe the A3 amendment.
Well, tell you what.
I can do it later.
Why don't we just set it aside and go to Senator Murphy's bill, and then perhaps we'll have the A3 amendment there when in a few minutes. So why don't we just set the bill aside for a few minutes? Senate File 1282 will set aside. Senator Murphy, are you able to present Senate File 1016, Minnesota First Bond Sale Authorization? Senator Murphy? Senator Murphy, welcome to the Budget Division.
Mr. Chairman and members, Senate File 1016 is an initiative that was brought to me by Representative Morrow. And he had done a lot of work on this Minnesota First Bonds program. And what this will allow the department to do is to break down some of those larger bond denominations and be able to sell them off in smaller denominations so that investors like the folks in this room could take advantage of investing in Minnesota. This actually was done some 30 years ago, I found out, and the program was ended. At one time, just about every member of the House of Representatives, and it's like 30 years ago, and a lot of the senators took advantage of this program. But or a program like this. It wasn't the same one. But members, there's a little difference in the language between the Senate bill and the House bill. And, Mr. Chairman, I would like to put one amendment on right now at your allowance here, and it's on page 2. It simply would be to eliminate lines 9 and 10.
Right. Talking, yeah, there's a blank in there, so we have to do something with those two lines. All right.
Mr. Chairman, I'll move that.
Senator Pappas moves on page 2 to delete lines 2.9 and 2.10. There's discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Senator Murphy?
Mr. Chairman, it's my understanding from the department that that takes care of the issue that had arisen earlier. Members, if you look at the at the fiscal note, it shows that there's a $20,000 cost every year. The department just told me that if you look in the middle of the page 2 of the fiscal note, you'll see that it's assumed that the cost for the accounts will be decreased on a per bond basis when a larger balance is maintained. And it also says the program will use bonds already included in the state capital budget forecast, so there's no additional debt service cost for the program. I think the department believes that this is a good bill. And, Mr. Chairman, like I said earlier, it's a way that it would allow smaller investors to invest in the state of Minnesota.
Is there anybody here who wants to be heard on Senate File 1016? It's a question by the members. Senator Olsen.
Mr. Chair, Senator Murphy, is there a chance, because there'd be more paperwork involved with smaller investors, that the bond interest would actually drop, or would you suspect that there'd be no impact on the bond rates?
Senator Murphy.
Mr. Chairman and Senator Olsen, that's my understanding with my discussions with Representative Morrill that that would not be the case.
Further discussions? Senator Rest.
I'll move that Senate File 1016 as amended be recommended pass and referred to the full committee.
Senator Rest moves that Senate File 1016 as amended be recommended pass be referred to the Committee on Finance. Discussion on the motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Murphy.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Lori, we have the A3 amendment now before us. If you will revert back to Senate File 1284.
Mr. Chairman, I move the A3 amendment.
Okay. And what does the A3 amendment do now? Let's discuss that. Senator Lori, you were prepared to discuss the amendment. What does it do?
Yeah, the A3 amendment relieves some of the annual audit provisions for the industry. And truthfully, this was included in the report, but we were having issues working out agreed-upon language with the Department of Revenue, and this is something that came up after the bill was initially introduced, and it allows them a little bit of flexibility for those smaller organizations. The commissioner doesn't need the full-blown financial audit, so it won't cost the Department of Revenue or save them any money, really. They'll get other documentation that entities are in compliance, but it will save the industry an estimated $1.5 to $2 million per year. So this is actually the number one priority in the study conducted by the Gambling Control Board, and we're pretty pleased to be able to have at long last arrived at some compromise that'll work to ensure the integrity of the industry and still provide the some of the administrative relief that we were looking for.
Senator Rust.
Mr. Chairman, Senator Lori, this was language that was also included in the tax bill.
That's right. This was also included in the tax bill.
But, Mr. Chairman, it's actually more appropriate to include it in this bill, although it's actually already passed the Senate. But to have it in this bill is far more appropriate.
Is there anybody who wants to be heard on the A3 amendment? Seeing none, Senator Rest moves the A3 amendment. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Those opposed, motion prevails. The A3 amendment is adopted.
Mr. Chairman, I move the bill.
Is there anybody else who wants to be heard on the fiscal aspects of Senate File 1284 as amended? Seeing none, Senator Rest moves that Senate File 1284 be recommended to pass to the full Finance Committee. Discussion on that motion. Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. Thank you, Senator.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members.
Let's see. Do we have Senator Gerlach's bill here yet? Why don't you pass that out?
Senator Latz is here, Mr. Chairman.
Senator Latz is here, too? Okay. Good. Don't go anywhere. Okay. Well, we'll go to Senate File 1982, Senator Gerlach. This bill had been before us previously because of the fiscal note issue.
And I have the fiscal note, too.
And we'll have the fiscal note passed out as well. Sir Gerlach, why don't you just remind us what this bill did, and then we'll take another look at the issue before us here.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, and members of the committee. Yes, as Senator Betzold said, we've went over the policy of the bill, and we did a significant amendments last time, changed it, and the fiscal note has been modified, and that's why Commissioner Hansen is here to answer those questions. But very simply, for those of you who don't remember, this was a veteran's preference for interviews. I talked about some of the changes that have taken place with veterans' preferences for public employee hiring over the years and how the advantage that had been awarded decades ago had been diminished through various reasons, and that this bill is designed to correct that and give some weight back to that veteran's preference. So if we could, I guess maybe the commissioner could explain the fiscal note and how it's changed since the last time we heard this.
Thank you. Welcome to the back to the Budget Division, Commissioner. You'll need to identify yourself for the record.
Mr. Chairman, members, for the record, my name is Tom Hansen. I'm the commissioner of the Minnesota Management and Budget Department, or the Department of Finance, whatever name you choose to pick. I just wanted on Senate File 1982 emphasize the governor's strong support for this legislation and thank Senator Gerlach for carrying this bill. It is a enterprise-wide change in cost across all of state government, Mr. Chairman. It's not just MMB or admin, but it encompasses all funds, MNSCU, and everything, and I want to make that point. Rough averages, about one-third of the positions that this would cover would be MNSCU, and the other two-thirds are cabinet-level agencies and boards and commissions. And just to break down the fiscal note for you, part one is that portion which requires the top five veterans who have been discharged. This only applies to veterans who have been discharged since 9/11/01, so 9/11. And whereas the previous version of the Gerlach bill required every veteran who had was previously, or every veteran that met the minimum standards be interviewed, this one says the top five veterans, and that would be government-wide a cost of $858,000. Then there's the second portion, or the second section, part two. Qualified veterans in state service have the option of a special hearing if discharged from state service, or they can go through the normal collective bargaining grievance process. So they already have the normal collective bargaining grievance process. This sets another process on top of that for veterans if they choose, and that's a $419,000 request, or $1,419,000 cost. And then part three, the annual report regarding the number of veterans employed applying, interviewed, hired, and rejected by the state by MMB at a cost of $5,000. I think that considering this is a enterprise-wide cost across all of state government, it would be roughly $5,000 per MNSCU campus, or $22,000 per cabinet agency. I think it's the kind of thing that we can absorb ourselves.
And members, we adopted an amendment at the last hearing. We don't have that amendment before us, but the fiscal note is drawn to the bill as amended. So just to be clear, Commissioner, although we've got a significant fiscal note here, you're saying because it's spread across all of government, this is something that we believe that the agencies would be able to absorb?
Yes.
Okay. Sir Pappas?
Well, Mr. Chairman, that was really my question, is about the $1.8 million.
That's...
Okay.
Cyril Seen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioner Hansen, that fiscal note, you know, 12 full-time efficiencies, you know, that seems like a lot of staff to cover. You know, if they're hiring anyhow, they're already hiring those folks. I mean, it just seems like, I know the fiscal note points out there'll probably be more hearings if there's termination of an employee, but that just seems like an awful big number for something that's already happening. They're already hiring people, and so I know you kind of addressed that at statewide, but it still seems to me like a large number.
Commissioner?
Mr. Chairman, Senator Olsen, it is, I think, the assumptions made in the we assumed a certain number of individuals that are normally interviewed, and then you're adding five more. I mean, I guess when you look at it in an agency like MnDOT, who are hiring construction workers or, you know, people working on the highways, and you have a volume of people, I see that the assistant commissioner in my agency, who knows more about this, is going to bail me out. So go ahead,
Welcome
Judy.
To the Budget Division. Please identify yourself for the record.
Thank you. I'm Judy Plant, Assistant Commissioner, MMB, currently known as Department of Finance. Still working on that. We had our staff take a look at the number of additional interviews that would be required to bring the number of veterans who've met minimum quals but who are at the highest level of the veteran pool to five for each of these openings. We actually looked at the number of applications that we received from veterans in 2008 and did some calculations based on every opening of what it would have taken. Were there openings that actually had five veterans or more in the applicant pool, or were there openings where fewer than five were available? And that's where we came up with the additional interviews needed. It's around 5,200 spread over the state. So that's the basis for the number. I think it's safe to say that in some cases, looking at the top five veterans qualified for a job might mean that veterans are the only folks being interviewed for those particular positions. In other situations, looking at the top qualified five veterans may mean that they are being interviewed in addition to the regular slate of candidates. And so we don't have the data to dig to that level to see where those differences would be. So we are making the assumption that these are in addition to the regular interviews that would have been otherwise scheduled.
Senator Rust.
And I just wanted that clarification as well, that it might be, or you took into consideration that for some positions, the top five candidates are going to be veterans to start with, and there would be no requirement to interview 10 people, for example, or 7 people if the top five were already veterans. It would only be that if there were veterans were not in the top five, that there would be an additional number of however many that would be. Is that and that assumption is underlying
Senator
the fiscal note as well?
Mr. Chair, yes, that is correct.
Okay.
In the fiscal note, we had no way to quantify how many of those situations
yes,
would occur. So we erred on the high side on this and said we're assuming five additional interviews for each of those positions, or the number that would bring it up to five based on our 2008 sample.
Mr. Chairman, does the issue amendment need to be adopted, or did we adopt that before?
At the last hearing.
We adopted the A2 amendment at the previous hearing.
Okay, Mr. Chairman, is a motion.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Pappas.
I'm just wondering what the impact is going to be on hiring women or hiring minorities that are not veterans? You know, I mean, five seems like a really big number when only five people may be interviewed. And if they're only veterans being interviewed, that doesn't seem to me to be very fair.
Members, to clarify, on the A2 amendment, we only adopted 1.2 to 1.4. We 1.5 we did not adopt. So. Is there a rest?
Mr. Chairman and Senator Pappas, I think it's not the case. If the top five applicants were women, it would only mean that an additional five, whether they were male or female veterans, would be interviewed for the jobs, not that they would be hired.
It's not that they would be the only ones interviewed for the job.
That's correct. If they were only interviewing five people, and the top five applicants happen to be veterans, regardless of whether they were a minority or
women
a woman
or men.
Or neither. Mm-hmm. So I don't think there's a there's not an overt discrimination there against women or minorities. It's rather obviously a bias in favor of respecting the service of veterans since 2001.
And Mr. Chairman, obviously there are a lot of women and minorities who have served.
Absolutely.
Who are also veterans. That might help them.
Yes. Mr. Chairman, can I move the bill?
Is there anybody else who's here who wants to be heard on Senate File 1982 as amended? If not, Senator Rest moves that Senate File 1982 as amended be recommended pass be referred to the Committee on Finance. Is there discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed? Motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Gerlach and Commissioner. Thank you. Senator Latz, Senate File 93.
We are still working.
Oh, there's an amendment? Apparently there's an amendment coming on Senate File 93, so we hold off. Senator Rest, are you prepared on Senate File 278? And do we have Senator Anderson's bill coming up? Okay. Well, let's do Senator Rest bill, because there's no fiscal impact on that one.
Wow.
Senator Rest, this is Senate File 278, United States Senator Representative in Congress, Vacancy Election Procedure Modifications.
Chairman and members, to the recent presentation of this bill, which a number of you have heard in the State and Local Government Operations and Oversight Committee. What it does is propose to do two things. One is to set in place an election process for the replacement of a United States senator when that person, for whatever reason, has permanently left the office, and proposes a timetable for doing so. The second part of the bill is a bill that proposes a sequence of events when there is a vacancy in nomination. That is, when a candidate for office, for whatever reason that is permitted, is not going to be running in the election. Usually it would be the death of a candidate and how we go about doing that. And that is a proposal coming from the Secretary of State's office, that part of the bill, and it is a response to a federal requirement. The fiscal impact is zero, and the what funds would be needed to reprogram the Secretary of State's office data system would come from the HAVA funds.
Okay. And, Ms. Fraser, it does look like, although there's cost to the state and local governments, everything would be paid for by the HAVA funds. Is that correct?
Mr. Chair and members, Beth Fraser from the Office of the Secretary of State. Yes, some minor reprogramming would be paid for with the HAVA funds.
Okay. Okay, is there anybody else who's here who wants to be heard on Senate File 278?
Mr. Chairman, I would move that Senate File 278 be
recommended pass.
As amended somewhere along the way, be recommended to pass and referred to the full committee.
On that motion, all those in favor, any discussion? On that motion, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed, motion prevails. Thank you, Senator Rest. Let's do Senator Anderson's bill, Senate File 2112. What? She's not here.
She was here.
She was just here.
Sarah.
Well, Sarah Laff's still here?
Yeah, he's here.
We're waiting for an amendment for his bill. Okay. Okay, we've got a moment or two of downtime here.
Is there
take a breath.
On Senator Anderson's bill? Is him this bill?
Well, we got to get her back in here.
Senator Anderson.
Senator Anderson, Senate File 2112. This is sustainable, statewide sustainable water resources framework. Is there a fiscal note that's being passed out on it? So, Senator Anderson, welcome to the Budget Division.
Thank you very much, Mr. Chair and committee members.
Apparently, there's no fiscal note.
We just called on Greg Hubinger from the LCC to see if he was planning on coming, and he was planning, but he's on his way, so I don't know if he'll make it in time. But anyway, the part I think that concerns this division is the website. This is you have the language that was adopted on Saturday, the committee engrossment.
We've got the bill as it was introduced.
Okay. Well, that part wasn't changed anyway, so it doesn't really matter. There's three pieces in the new language. One is for a sustainable water plan, and then one is requiring that the three different outdoors funds do a 25-year plan. But the part that relates to the Legislative Coordinating Commission is the website. And that language is in here, so I think that's what I'll address. And what the intention of this, there's Greg, perfect timing.
What are we doing here?
The intention of this section is to ensure that the public has one place to go, one easily accessible place to find information about where the legacy dollars are being spent. And as written, this just refers to the outdoors funds, and those are the ones that are within the jurisdiction of my division and that I focused on. And, you know, we could have some dialogue about whether the arts should be included in this website. But as of now, this proposal just includes the water, the habitat, and the parks sections of the legacy funds. And the intention is to have a website that would put information on it about how the money is being used in terms of specific expenditures, but also we'd like the strategic plans and the goals that are established for each of those funds over the next 25 years to be on the website or linked to the website. And so the idea is it would be a portal for the public to get information. And, for example, the Lessard Council has a website already set up, and so this website could just simply link to that one. But I think it's really important to have one place for them to go that's not controlled by any of the state agencies that could be seeking funding under the amendment. And so that's why we asked the LCC to host this. Greg Hubinger is here, the head of the executive director. Is that your title? Sorry, whatever. From the LCC, and they have hosted the LCCMR's website for a period of time, and so it seemed like a logical place for where the public could go to get unbiased information that would be easily accessible.
Senator Rush.
Mr. Chairman, I'm not sure what it is we're supposed to be doing with this bill. There's a blank appropriation in Section 2. Do we want to get rid of that?
Actually, yeah, the reason why the bill is here is because in Section 2, there's an appropriation to the Legislative Coordinated Commission, which would be within our area, and then it has a breakdown of that on lines 2.1 and 2.2. So we would need to fill in those numbers. Mr. Hubinger, are you able to assist us in doing that and tell us what numbers we're looking for?
Mr. Chair and members, I'm Greg Hubinger with the Legislative Coordinating Commission. As I understand it, this appropriation is not from the general fund, but from the funds from the Legacy Heritage Amendment. We had not done a fiscal note for this bill, but for a similar bill in the other body, and had estimated the cost of this accountability office at $133,000. That might be inserted on line 1.21. And if each of the funds were to contribute based on their overall funding levels, on line 2.1, it would be $75,000 from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, $75,000 from the Clean Water Fund, and $33,000 from the Parks and Trails Fund. This doesn't take into account what Senator Anderson was talking about in terms of discounting the contributions from funds or councils that have their own websites. We're working on that analysis now.
Well, Mr. Chair,
Senator Kubley.
Did I misunderstand you, Mr. Hubinger? I thought you said the total amount was $133,000.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chair and Senator, $183,000.
83, yes, okay. Because I wrote down 133 as well, too. So, does this have any effect on our budget? areas?
No, this doesn't affect the general.
Okay, this does not affect. Okay.
Mr. Chairman, I would move the insertion of those numbers, 183, 75, 75, and 33, in the appropriate places.
Senator Rust moves on page 1.21 of the bill on to insert 183,000 on page 2.1 after the first dollar sign, to put 75,000 after the second dollar sign, put 75,000 on line 2.2.33,000. Is discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chair?
Senator Olsen.
Is this going to be an annual cost to maintain these websites, or is this just an initial cost?
Mr. Chair, Senator Olsen, we estimated that the first year cost would be 183 and the second year would be 118.
So we need to
Mr. Chair?
Senator Anderson.
Just a comment. As I mentioned briefly, I think, I wonder if you would consider just striking the line that divides up the amounts from each of the three funds, because that's the piece that will be adjusted tomorrow in my division. You could do the overall amount, and that would be helpful to pass that out of this division, but I'm afraid there's there's a great deal of sensitivity about every penny spent by different funds, and we are going to adjust those numbers, as I said, because some of the funds will be just links to the website, and some of them will be putting more dollars in. So the Heritage Fund number will be reduced, and the other two funds will be increased, and it would save me some heartburn from members of the public if we would just take that part out of the bill at this point.
So, Mr. Chairman, I would move that modify my motion to amend with the result being that $183,000 be inserted on lines 120, and that line 2.1 after the period be deleted, and line 2.2 deleted.
Well, but the problem is that we don't identify where the money's coming from now, because lines 2.1 and 2.2 indicated where the money was coming from. Now it's coming presumably out of the general fund, which we don't have. So I think we need to keep
putting the blanks back in.
Mm-hmm. Well, why don't we keep the numbers in there, and Senator Anderson or somebody else can figure out how to move the numbers around. But it's got to be all or nothing, I think, or make some changes in here. So,
well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Pappas.
It doesn't say general fund, though. It says receive appropriations from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the Clean Water Fund, and the Fund.
That's the point. And Senator Anderson was suggesting striking that out.
No, she just was striking the last sentence.
Just like what I did.
Mr.
If
Chairman.
You look at the bottom of 123, it says receiving appropriations from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the Clean Water Fund, and the Parks and Trails Fund. We're indicating where the money's coming from. Mr. Bonner says we're not really.
That doesn't work.
Okay. Mr. Bonner.
Mr. Chairman, if you look at that, that's really a description of the types of projects. There's nothing describing where the money is appropriated from. In other words, on line 1.23, the description is projects receiving appropriations from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, but there's nothing there that says where the appropriation would come from.
Well, Mr. Chairman,
Senator Rust.
Then wouldn't to make the process easier for Senator Anderson, would it be appropriate to say the appropriations will come from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, Clean Water Fund, and the Parks and Trails Fund,
without
saying a designation of how much, and then she can change those lines tomorrow in her division.
Mr. Chair,
Senator Anderson,
Mr. Hubinger and I are just talking here about perhaps it would be best to leave if we can legally do this, I guess, to appropriate the general amount, but let the LCC work out the allocation from each fund depending on, as they go through the process of developing the website, depending on what's the appropriate amount to bill each fund. Because we don't actually know that number. So I think, Senator Rush, your approach would work. That would be a very helpful place to start that process. And we can finalize that language in my division That would be helpful.
Mr. Chairman?
Chair Pappas.
Well, Mr. Bodden is working on that language based on that last suggestion. Mr. Hubinger mentioned that in 2011 they anticipate needing 118,000. Shouldn't you include that as well in this bill then?
It's fine. Either way, Mr. Chair, Senator Pappas, some of these funds have one-year bills and some of them have two-year bills for funding. So we could do it either way. This is going to be taken out of the reserve that's just set aside for all three funds. So I think
Mr.
That would
Chairman,
be
if that last sentence could read, based on those suggestions, then that the appropriation will be from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the Clean Water Fund, and from the Parks and Trails Fund, the allocation being determined by the Legislative Coordinating Commission.
Okay.
That works, Mr. Chair. I think that's good.
And then the second year, you're going to include that too?
No. Only because she said, Mr. Chairman, Senator Pappas, there's some only have one, some have two. I think let them, they at least have the framework for the language that she can then bring up in her own committee.
Okay.
Let me give Mr. Bonner just a moment to look it over.
Mr. Chairman, I think it might be best if the first sentence contains the references to the particular funds, and this would, I want to make sure I understand the committee correctly, this would provide the Legislative Coordinating Commission, the way it would currently be worded, with the discretion to determine the particular allocation from those funds. And I didn't catch exactly what the committee would like to do with the 2011 appropriation.
Mr. Chairman, I just want to argue that a little bit more, is that maybe instead of just saying in fiscal year 2010, we just appropriate $301,000, and then how it's divided between the 2 years and how it's divided between the funds can be determined by the LCC. But I think it might be better if we have the full amount in.
For the biennium.
Yeah, for the biennium.
Mr. Chairman, I would incorporate that in my...
Okay. It's harder to raise that amount later.
I'm withdrawing my previous one because it's so changed now.
Well, tell you what, we're running out of time. Let me... Are those amendments to Senator Lance's bill?
Yes, they are.
Okay, we're not going to have time to get to Senator Lance's bill right now. What I'm thinking of is this. My understanding is we're going to go on to the floor. We're probably going to be breaking for caucuses to talk about the Health and Human Services budget bill. I'd like to see if my staff can find a room, probably 123, because I imagine these two rooms are going to be filled. Maybe we can get 123 and finish off Senator Anderson's bill and Senator Lance's bill during the time period when the caucuses are meeting talking about the Human Services bill. Obviously, if any member has to be there for your caucus meetings to do that, I don't see any other way. Otherwise, wait till after the floor session's over today. Any other suggestions?
Mr. Chairman, I think maybe could get the Senator Anderson's bill finished.
In the next 2 minutes.
Yep.
Let's give Mr. Bodden an opportunity.
Mr. Chair, I just wanted to ask a question. Once these sites are set up, though, does it cost that much to maintain them every year? I would think the biggest cost would be setting them up. And then plugging in new numbers as they're available should not be. I mean, there's probably a fee for maintenance, but it seems like a lot of money to me for three websites or whatever.
Mr. Hubinger, do you see an ongoing cost with these websites?
Mr. Chair and Senator Roebling, when we did the fiscal note, we assumed on the House Companion, we assumed 1.5 staff the first year, reducing to 1.25 for succeeding years. We think there's going to be a fair amount of content being added each year as each of these funds recommends appropriations to the legislature and the ongoing reporting that would be required from there.
Mr. Chairman, then, if you want to provide a one-time appropriation of, I think, was it $301,000 in the first year of the biennium? The new section...
With carryover.
And, Mr. Chairman, with particular carry-forward authority beyond
for
the biennium?
For
Within the biennium. Because right now it's only for 1 year, one fiscal year. So.
The amendment I would suggest would read that $301,000 in fiscal year 2010 is appropriated to the – and I'm just reading the some of the existing language here as well – is appropriated to the Legislative Coordinating Commission from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the Clean Water Fund, and the Parks and Trails Fund for the cost of developing and maintaining and implementing a website to contain information on projects receiving appropriations from the Outdoor Heritage Fund, the Clean Water Fund, and the Parks and Trails Fund. And then the last sentence, I think, could read the allocation of the appropriation from the funds specified in this section shall be determined by the Legislative Coordinating Commission. Is that correct? And is available until June 30th, 2011.
Mr. Chairman, that's my motion.
Anybody need to have it restated? Senator Roebling.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm going to oppose this because I just think it's too much money to have a person and a half hired to do this work. I think it could be done much quicker than that. I mean, to have a person and a half year-round to update these websites and to develop them. I mean, I can see where the development takes some time, but to keep them updated seems like it's really a lot of costs that could be putting into projects instead of administration-type work.
Is there discussion on the rest motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Those opposed?
No.
Motion prevails. The amendment's adopted. Is there further Chairman. Discussion on the bill? So, and is there anybody else who wants to be heard on Senate File 2112 as amended?
It's going to be adjusted down.
Senator Rest moves that Senate File 2112 as amended be recommended passed to the Committee on Finance. Discussion on that motion? Hearing none, all those in favor, please signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Those opposed?
Aye.
Motion prevails. Members, we're going to be in recess. As I say, I'm thinking right now, during the caucus time period, we will have room 123 available to us. My sense is that we'll just have to use that time period to look at Senator Latz's bill 93. That's the only other bill we have on the agenda for
Thank
today.
Thank you.
We don't have to reestablish a quorum.
No,
correct?
We don't have to reestablish a quorum. We've established one.
Right.
We do have session right now, so the budget division is in recess to the call of the chair.